And, of course, their teachers with them. Well, I have a treat for you this morning. I know I've told this story many, many times, but I know there are also some people here who haven't heard it. First time I ever preached was in Haiti. And I was only interested really in missions work. I thought that I was called to be a missionary. So I was there with my camera to make a video. And Pastor Jephthah and his father, Pastor Sidwan, our dearly beloved, most magnificent, wonderful man I've ever met in my life. But they picked me up at the airport in Cap Haitien. And we're on our way to Pignan. And in those days, I guess it was about a three-hour trip or somewhere along those there. And we're about halfway there. I had just started seminary. I mean, seriously, I think I was in my first or maybe second semester. And we're driving through the backwoods of Haiti, and Pastor Jephthah and Pastor Sidwan were sitting in the front seat, I was sitting in the back, and Pastor Jephthah turned around and said to me, I did tell you that we're having a revival this week, didn't I? I said, no, but that's awesome, I'll get some great shots, and didn't say anything. He just turned back around, another 10 miles, you know, kind of crept away. Turned it back around and said, I did tell you that you were preaching, didn't I? I mean, literally, we were within an hour of the church where I wanted to preach, and that was my initiation into preaching. I mean, just thrown into the fire, if you will. And ever since then, he's been doing the same thing to me. Every time we go to Haiti, it's always there's something that he's, oh, I did tell you this, didn't I? Well, he called me yesterday afternoon, and he didn't call me, he texted and said, I'm going to be at church tomorrow. And I said, oh, I did tell you that you were preaching, didn't I? I didn't exactly word it just like that, but I took the opportunity. It's been so long since our dear brother has been in the pulpit here. He, for many years, was here every year as part of our missions conference. We had to put all of that sort of at the wayside here during these days. But would you please welcome with me to our pulpit our dear brother, Pastor Jephthah.
Thank you, my brother. Yeah, I should preach this morning about revenge is mine. That's right. Oh, well, it is such a pleasure to be here. It's for the last year and a half. It's like my friends who live here in the States have been asking me the same question. How do you manage to survive? You know, after the death, the assassination of the president, you know, just a month ago, it's like people say, are you safe? How do you manage to survive? And basically, we all know what we all together throughout the world have been going through. And it's like we've been fighting really hard, all of us. It's not just in Haiti, but all of us, we've been fighting. And in the midst of the fight, we know that we are under the obligation of succeeding. No matter what happened to us, we know that we have to be victorious. And so I am so excited, you know, to be here this morning just to talk about just to tell you how can we manage, you know, to survive? How do we manage to make it? How do we do that? And I've learned not to tell people when you're not prepared to say, oh, this is yesterday that I started the sermon, but I was hoping that I could find a sermon that I preach already. But quite frankly, this is the first time I am, you know, talking like that from this passage. I never preach from Galatians 3. But, you know, in my devotion, the Lord led me to share that with you this morning. And I got here from Haiti last Thursday. And I thought I came here for a vacation because I have not been here for a while, and especially with my family. But it's more than that. We are in a greater, you know, mission than that while I'm here in the States. But I feel so blessed. And you know what we've been going through. It's because of your prayers that we can stand. It's because you've been praying for us. We live off your prayers. And that's why I'm very thankful for all of you who are listening right now. I am thankful that I am here, and I'm thankful that my family is here also. I have my nephews right here. Michael, stand up. Michael is my brother Enoch's son, but I am the godfather, so this is my son. And Matthew is here with me too. There, you know, Matthew is almost, you know, Abdel's age, and they're four cousins that are well together. And as you know, that the Lord took my brother Enoch at the age of 62, their father, to be with him. And I'm still, you know, every day questioning the Lord why he did that, but he knows. Thank you. You may be seated. And I have Dominic who's here. Dominic, stand up. You're Dominic. Look at Dominic. He's good. Thank you. He will turn 17 in December. And Abdel is here. Abdel is here, yeah. Thank you, Abdel. He just turned 15 this past July. So you remember last time you saw them. And of course my wife Mitu is here also. And Mitu is probably 18 plus, okay? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. My family is a reason. You know, this morning as we were getting ready to be here, and I told my wife, look at you, look at me. You know, we had to have beautiful children, right? No. I know, Joy, were you surprised to see Dominic? Oh, my goodness, she's my girl. Yeah, I love Joy, and we need to stay in closer touch. And with all honesty, I used to wonder if I'm not hurting my son, my family, for keeping them in a country like Haiti where there is always something scary going on. But quite frankly, sometimes I feel tired. I feel very, very tired of the road. It's like I feel tired of the insecurity, tired of the political unrest. I used to try to explain to people what country lock means. Living in a country where roads are blocked because they want, you know, people are demonstrating because they're having demonstration because they want to outstate the president. And so they block the streets. Kids cannot go to school. The president have to go through 16 barricades, he said, that so he could go to his office. And he would, for 4 months, the country was, you know, was locked. And then we got to the point where we had the world locked through COVID, you know, for a different reason. The world was locked. So you understand that people would be staying in their home and can't go anywhere. So this is the kind of feeling that I'm sharing. It's like we all share it too at some point. But sometimes I'm tired of those kind of things and the unrest and the bumpy roads. I'm struggling right now with vehicle. I've been renting vehicle in Haiti because we live on roads that don't want to keep the vehicle. I would just, It just, it's, it, we, this is one of our thorn in the flesh. It's a, the road, I tell people it's like evil spirit under your car, shaking it and throwing you in the cliff like Spider-Man would do. I don't know. It's you don't know what's going on. And I went to my doctor, and the doctor, I happened to receive a call from my mechanic. And as the mechanic described how the vehicle was, and especially the underneath, my doctor said, you need to be careful that those, that what the road have done to your vehicles, they've done it to you also, because it shakes every part of your body when you drive on those roads. And to be honest with you, feel tired. Our ministry is located in a 200-mile radius. We have churches, orphanages, Port-au-Prince, Cap Haitien, and some of you had the experience with me. I don't know, the church has been there, going to a place like Jinjiang. We walk 1.5 hours to go to a church, and it's through the biggest mountain. Last time Pastor Kirby was in Haiti, we went to a church that's called Deside, and we, this is, Pastor Kirby has to describe this for you. But we drove our car for 1.5 hours. We parked it where no motorcycles, no bicycles could go. And then, listen, we walk. I mean, I don't know how to describe those mountains. We walk 5 hours one way to get to the church, but we have baptism, we had a wedding, we had a big harvest festival, and we had child dedication. And on our way back to, you know, the Lord wanted to add some spices to our trip. And so 5 hours going up and down mountains. You know, I mean, mountain that would be higher than what you're looking right here. I am serious. I'm not trying to exaggerate. I don't exaggerate. And so we left the church, and 5 minutes later, it started raining until we get there. So we left our house around 4 a.m. We got back to our house at around 3 a.m. And that's how where the Lord called us to have ministry, where we see people, you know, with all kind of needs. And because of where the ministry is located, where we do ministry, sometimes I feel tired, and I wonder if that's hurting my family. But when I really think about what I'm doing, it's like I feel this, I'm not doing a favor to the Lord. It's like the Lord has done a favor to me. It's like God can do his work. He can do everything. He can pay the smartest people to work for him. And yet he has decided to use me. And you with your hand in my hand doing kingdom work, I am encouraged that he's called me to be part of what he's doing in the world. And instead of thinking that I do a favor to God, now I understand that this is one of the greatest grace and favor that I've received from God, that I am part of what he's doing in the world. For this, I am so very thankful. And it's been challenging, it's been tough, and people all around the world have experienced, you know, kind of all the challenges that we have been experiencing in the world, sickness and death. But we need to understand that the Apostle Paul, he always talk about the Christian life like a fight. It's a fight. And it's a fight that we have to win, and like a fight that has already been won. It's a big battle. He talks in Ephesians 6:12 that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but at least it's a fight. You know, he talks to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12 that you need to fight the good fight of faith. We are in a fight. And at the end of his life, in 2 Timothy 4:7, he say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And it's a fight. And we need to always remember that there is no doubt about the fact that we are all in a fight. And the hard part is to try to understand how can we survive? How can we win? How can we, you know, walk victoriously? The Galatians, they were being distracted from the right word to win that fight. And the Apostle Paul just talked to them and pointed out to them the fact that they were being misguided about the way to victory. And it was the same. They were being distracted by false teachers. But us, maybe by trial, challenges of life, COVID-19, sickness, death, in this life. But I think what was true for the Christian in Galatia, it's true to us. To win the battle, Paul pointed out to them that they had to go the same way that our forefather Abraham went. And they need to understand that they should not be distracted from the right way. And the way to survive, the way to win that fight, is to understand that we are in this life on a journey of faith. We are on a faith journey. We read in Galatians 3, verse 1 to 6, Paul saying, "O foolish Galatian, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Basically, he's telling them that we are on a journey of faith. Don't be distracted. And on the journey of faith, I want to point out basically three steps that are involved. The first step is the coming forward by faith. And the second step would be the moving forward, going forward by faith. And the third step would be looking forward. We look forward by faith. First of all, as the passage points it out, the journey of faith, the faith journey in which we are, we began it by faith. I don't know about you. I relate to what the Bible says concerning us being sinner and falling short of the glory of God. But this is what the Bible tells us about man. We all sinner. And we deserve punishment for our sin. But God, who loves us, and because of his love for us, he doesn't want us to perish, he came down on earth through his son, Jesus Christ. Born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for our sin. He was buried. He was resurrected. And now he is in heaven. He offers the free gift of salvation to any sinner who repents and believes. When we were born on this earth, we were born as sinner. And to be right before God, we need to be born again. Born of the Spirit of God. I have to talk to you about this because Jesus talked to a doctor of the law about this, and he asked him to be born again. And so no matter where you are, we need to check that to make sure that you understand how important it is to begin with God. And we begin by coming forward and start the journey of faith. When we accept him into our lives and ask him to take residence, to dwell in our heart, and start saying like Paul, if I live, I no longer live for myself, but I live for Christ. In Galatians 2:20-21. We are on a journey of faith. And so that's what Paul said. Do you remember how you began? I know. You seem to want to be distracted or allow people to distract you. How did you begin? When you receive the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 1:13, when you hear the gospel, you put your faith in God, and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and it bears fruit of love, of joy, of peace. And so this is how we begin. Don't think that you're going to live a triumphant life, a victorious life, without faith. This is what happened to Abraham. This is what is happening. This is how what has to happen to you. In John 1:12, he says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the Son of God. In Colossians 2, verse 6, he says, just as you receive Christ. Receiving Christ. Coming forward. And begin the journey is very important. Because if you're talking about faith, if you don't have a beginning, you don't even need to talk about faith. We are on a faith journey. And the faith journey involves coming forward by faith. I talked to some people from my church and they were surprised because this is something that they think they never thought about it. Jesus says in Luke 4:18 that the Spirit of the Lord, and you find this in Isaiah 61 verse 1, that the Spirit of God has come upon me because he anointed me to proclaim a good news to the poor and to heal those who are broken hearted. God came down from heaven and to heal who? People who are broken hearted. On our faith journey, we need to understand that God cares about us. And no matter what, we should not allow ourselves to be distracted. So we can come to him by faith. He says in Matthew 11, come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. We need to begin the faith journey. And to begin it, you just come forward by faith. Mahalia Johnson, he wrote a song that I like, simple song, Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. He will save you just now. He will cleanse you. Just now. Only trust him. Just now. The faith journey begins with us coming. Coming forward by faith. But it involves also moving forward by faith. It is important to understand that we begun by faith and we need to continue by faith. When you're going through the valley, through the hardship, the humiliation, the deception, all the challenges of life, sickness, death, pandemic, to continue. Paul tell them, how did you begin? It's just trying to remind you. If you begin by faith, this is how you should continue. Because this is the way. How was Abraham justified? By faith. Don't change the rules of the game because God is not changing them. This is how we begin. And in Colossians 2, verse 6, it says, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue to walk in him. You need to continue. You need to move forward. You need to continue in the journey of faith. It doesn't stop right here after you just come to him. You need to continue by faith. Because we have the tendency to invent other means by which we can move forward. Oh, it is going, it was, we begun by faith. It is going to be by faith. And that's why the Bible tells us in Habakkuk 2:9, quoted in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Compared to the faith that you need to continue to walk with God daily, the faith that you put in Christ to come to him is so small You need more faith to walk with Christ daily than just the faith to get saved. If you're a Christian and the faith journey, you need to continue. You need to live by faith. You need to walk by faith. It is what it takes to move forward. I tell you, I got embarrassed when I see what I think about what has happened to me. I think, like someone who never heard about the gospel, that God is not fair. My mom, 2019, a pastor who was pastoring a 10,000-member church came to take a rest in my house because too many people at his church, and 2 days later, he passed away. That's in May. While I was preparing for his wake and funeral, my brother, 62-year-old, passed away. My dad, 2 weeks later, my brother-in-law, 1 month later, my other brother-in-law, 2 months later, my aunt. A month ago, I lost my uncle, the last uncle we had in the family. It just, what is God doing? Especially my dad, who live such a righteous life in our eyes. And I thought God was going to restore him because I feel that this is the death of my brother that he could not handle. And that's why, because he was 89 years old, he was driving his car. And 2 weeks later, basically, he passed away. I asked God to restore him so he wouldn't go to the grave so sad because his heart was broken. And I was asking the question, why things like that? I mean, why God didn't answer my prayer? I know he will die. He was going to die later. But because he walked so righteously before God, I was praying that the Lord would restore him first so he could be joyful, and then he would go. But God reminded me that it's by faith. You know, I need to continue to trust him. I stopped worried about my son, because as a pastor, you're afraid that your children would mess up. And sometimes it's not that you worry about them, but about your image. But God say, come on, if I took care of you, I will take care of them. And really, I was so bad. I mean, they I should not say that in front of them. They're saints compared to me. But what the most important thing is that I have to trust God for my children. That we begun the journey by faith. And we'll continue the journey by faith. I need to continue to trust God. And when you go through trials and tribulation in life, when things don't go your way, when you pray God and things don't go the way you ask God that they would go, you just continue to trust God. I am pleading with God for, you know, some daughters of my friend. Because sometimes, you know, it's too hard. And we're serving God. And we have our ways and we have desires of our hearts. But I'm telling you, we need to continue in the journey by faith. And so we come to him by faith. We move forward by faith. And we need to look forward to the things that he has for us by faith. He has a lot of things in store for us. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." God has great things in store for us that we should look forward to, but it is by faith that we're looking forward to all that he has in mind for us. And he says in Philippians 3:8, you know, talking about a passage that talks about righteousness through faith, he says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, and found in him, not having righteousness of my own that come from the law, but that which come through faith in Christ, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attend the resurrection from the dead." God has great things in mind for us. We look forward to those great things, and we look forward to them by faith. By faith. And in Philippians 3:20, it says that our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that he enables him even to subject all things to himself. You have a citizenship in heaven, and we look forward to that. And when I think about the journey of faith, and this is what I tell you, just we need to come to him. You know, come forward by faith. We need to move forward by faith. We need to look forward to what he has in store for us by faith. And I look at the looking forward like, you know, two things that he does for us to ensure us of what he will do for us. So one of them is the Holy Spirit. We find this in Ephesians 1, 13, 14. He says that he gives us the Holy Spirit after we put our faith in him, and it is as a guarantee of the inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. It's like as we look forward to what he does for us, we have in our hand something to hold on to. One is the Holy Spirit that he gives us as a guarantee that he will definitely. I am thankful for the Holy Spirit that we have in us that enable us to continue to put our faith in him. And is a guarantee that he will definitely fulfill his promises to us. Another thing that I feel is really a good reason to continue to look forward to what he has in store is the thing that he's already done for us. God has done so much for us, and in the midst of all that we're going, we can look at the blessings that surround us, and we can continue to live victoriously. We can manage to survive as we put our trust in Him. It's just a heart of gratitude, thankfulness for what He's done for us. He's done so much. Colossians 2, verse 7, and she said, when we receive Jesus Christ, we put our faith in Him, and He said we rooted and grounded in Him, and we build our lives on Christ. Our faith becomes strong. Our faith becomes strong, and we fill with thankfulness. A heart of gratitude. We look at all the things that He's done for us, and we can manage to survive. We can live victoriously because no matter what is going on, we're blessed. I tell you, one of the most difficult times that I had to live is my brother Enoch. When he passed away, it was so sudden. I loved him so much. And I still hear him calling. My phone rings and I pick up the phone. Oh, man, a joke. So whenever he hears a joke, the first person he calls to tell the joke is me. And so every time I go to my phone and see his phone number, it is hard. And I don't want to delete his phone number from my contact list. And so while I was preparing for his funeral, I went to Capation. I thought that was the worst thing that ever happened to my life. Even though my mom had passed away, it was hard. But then my brother passed away, 62-year-old. Then I heard that my brother Caleb had to be rushed to the hospital. While I was preparing my friend, Pastor Ecclesiastes' funeral, my brother Enoch passed away. While I was preparing for my brother Enoch's funeral, my brother Caleb had COVID and he could not breathe. And I just walked into the hospital room. I drove my car so fast. I walked on my knees in the hospital room. I say, Lord, I just cannot handle that. I just cannot. And we thought that all flight were impossible. And then all of a sudden, I heard my sister-in-law say, oh, the ambulance said that they could come and get him. He need $18,000. I say, I don't care, whatever. And so the next day, the ambulance came. He was the only one on the airplane from Miami, came to get him. And so as my heart was so torn apart and broken and destroyed, thinking that the worst thing had ever happened to me because my brother, I became so thankful that I have my brother Caleb, who could have died, and he did not die because the Lord opened a door for me so he could continue to survive. Then I started counting my blessings. I have to live a victorious life. I need to survive. I need to manage to survive. Then I start thinking about my mom. My mom passed away. My dad passed away. My brother passed away. Then my mom and my dad, they lived together for 64 years. 9 children. For all those years, we never had one death in the family. Now 64 years of beautiful life, rejoicing in the Lord, serving the Lord, enjoying his blessing. I don't know what I'm going through right now, but I have a reason to be thankful. I've known some good days. The Lord had blessed us as a family. And as I was thinking about ways to survive, I thought, why don't I have some time thanking the Lord for what he's done? And I think that's what Joseph meant when he say, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good, to accomplish what happens today. He said, guys, thank you for hating me. Thank you for throwing me in the well. Thank you, Mrs. Potiphar, for betraying me. Thank you, Mr. Potiphar, for sending me in jail. Thank you for all the pain and the suffering that I've gone through. What I know for sure is that with a heart of gratitude, I can continue to move forward because I know it can be hard, but my God is faithful. Let's count our blessing this morning because God is good. God, thank you for the valley. And thank you for the mountains. Thank you for the good days. Thank you for the bad days. We know that it's been hard, but you've done so many things in our lives. Because of what you've done for us, we can continue to move forward. You see, you allow us to come to you by faith. We continue by faith, and we look forward by faith to obtain all that you have in store for us. Thank you for this church and everybody who have listened to these words. I pray that you would encourage their heart as they go through all the hardships, trials, and tribulation. They could be thankful because you've done a lot for us and we have reason to be thankful. Be with us. Keep us strong as a church. And may we continue to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.